Hey guys, welcome back to the studio. Today we welcome Brandon Andrews, co-founder of Gauge, an AI-driven mobile market research platform, senior consultant at Values Partnerships, and the casting director for Shark Tank. All right, welcome to the studio, Brandon.
Hey, happy to be here. Excited for the conversation.
Awesome. This has been a long time coming. The last time I seen you was in 2020.
Yeah.
COVID times. Yes.
Yeah, that was the last big trip that I took before things shut down. So yeah, I have fond memories of that because it was the last time I traveled for a while.
Yeah, you came out to Detroit. So we actually met in person at Detroit. You were the casting director for Shark Tank. So, and you still are. You're involved in Shark Tank.
Yeah. So I've been doing casting for Shark Tank for about 10 years now. So every year I get the opportunity to meet several thousand entrepreneurs in the U.S. and all around the world. And it's a really fun inflection point because there's a range of entrepreneurs that come to a Shark Tank casting call or who contact me online, DM me on Instagram, whatever it might be. There are entrepreneurs that are fairly new to business. So they don't have a lot of maturity in business, but they're very excited. They probably have some traction and they're excited about the opportunity to scale. And then there's some entrepreneurs on the other end who are fairly mature. Maybe they've even raised some VC funding or they have some angel investors. So they have folks on their cap table and they're coming to it in a different way. And so, but everyone that's coming wants to not only show up in a positive way for the business, but they also want to kind of get their moment. And so it's a really special opportunity to be able to see people at that critical inflection point. And I love doing it.
Yeah, and you are such a seasoned pro, and it was such an amazing experience. I actually, I kind of got pushed into that experience. I really didn't, that wasn't really something that I would have leapt into on my own, but I had a great mentor that was like, you should really go down and give this a shot. And so I'm meeting you and like, you're the perfect man for the job and you hit the nail on the head with, kind of the, the folks that get involved in that process. And it was just such a cast of characters. I met so many cool people. There was one guy, I don't know if you remember, that was such a unique time because, we were doing, everything started out in person and that's a very big, what you'd call a cattle call, I guess.
Yeah.
And all those people down there heading down to the Metro Detroit area.
Like American Idol, but for entrepreneurship.
Yes, that's exactly what it looked like from my perspective watching American Idol on television. Mm-hmm. That was the only frame of reference that I really had for that. And so just watching all the people line up and everyone's so enthusiastic and people come in costumes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're pitching and they want to get in their gear. And there was one guy in particular that really just stood out to me. And he was like in my group, because when you go to a casting call for Shark Tank or an audition pitch, you're sectioned off into groups.
Yeah. Because we want to make sure that we make the best use of your time. We don't want you to come and have to stand in line all day. So we give you a group with a certain time to come. Now it's a time estimate, but we can at least, within a couple of hours, give you a time to come. And yeah, bonding with those people you're in the group with is great.
Yeah. There was a guy, the shoe doctor. He's huge. You remember him?
Yeah. Yeah. He actually got on another show that I worked on Revolt. And made it to the finals of that show and ended up winning some non-dilutive capital for his business. But you're right. Big personality. He had the big chain with the sneaker on it and a super interesting concept too.
Yes. Well, he really stood out to me. So he was in my group. I was rooting for him, to tell you the truth. Yep. Oh my God. And I follow him to this day on Instagram and he's got multiple locations. Yep. He was the coolest guy. I cannot remember his first name. I want to say it was Ken. I could be wrong, but was it Ken? Yeah. And he had the white doctor coat on.
Yep.
And like the doctor stethoscope and all that stuff. He was the coolest. Yeah.
And it's such an interesting space. Because, what he does is he takes old laundry, old dry cleaners, and he converts them to just doing cleaning for sneakers. And, the sneaker market billions of dollars, and people are spending, you know, thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars on one pair, but you can't throw them in your washing machine to clean them. And even if you Right. try to clean them with soap and water at home, there's just this mix of materials and different fabrics and textures. You really need a bespoke kind of custom cleaning experience. And that's what he's able to provide. And he, like you said, has locations. I know he has Detroit, LA, and Atlanta, but he might have others as well now.
Oh, yeah. And he is, like, his attention to detail for that stuff is just fantastic. And his customer service and his enthusiasm and his passion for what it is that he's doing. Like, he's incredibly passionate about that business.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, celebrity clients. He had NBA professional football players coming in there. I know a lot of people that collect sneakers.
Yeah.
You know, they don't even wear them. They keep them stored in their closet.
And part of the reason you don't wear them is because if you do get them dirty, like, there's no way to clean them at home. Like, there's all kinds of cleaning kits you can download from Amazon. But again, if you've spent thousands of dollars on this rare pair of sneakers, you want to make sure that you give them the kind of treatment that any article of clothing or anything that you bought for several thousand dollars that you would want to give. So you want to make sure you take care of them. And he's been able to capitalize on that growing market in a really unique way.
Absolutely. And men, they hold their sneakers in high esteem like women hold their bags.
Yeah.
Those really expensive bags they spend all that dough on.
Yeah,
it's amazing. So that was such a unique process because it started out us all coming down in person. Mm-hmm. And then I just remember I had disconnected from TV. I was starting up my first business. I had already been through that process. And it was my second business I was coming down to Shark Tank for. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was all over the news, the start of COVID.
Yeah.
And we were just getting into like the meat of the auditions. And then people were really starting to really bust out the hand sanitizer because you're kind of like in line with your group and you're doing the things. And, and then some people were masking up and I wasn't really watching the news. I was disconnected from that. I don't even think I had a TV at the time, but I was getting the updates from everybody. And then what do you remember specifically about having to do on your end during that time?
Well, so a couple of things. One, we did actively limit the amount of people. So we do a little bit of a pre-screen when we have our in-person events to make sure that at the bare minimum, people actually have a business and that there's actually some potential there. But we did a couple of extra layers to limit the amount of people because we didn't know what the COVID-19 pandemic would end up becoming, but we did want to make sure that there was safety for everybody involved. So we did that. And then we actually did work with the venue to make sure that they had some hand sanitizer and cleaning products and those kinds of things available. But, you know, ultimately, when you have an opportunity like a Shark Tank casting opportunity, people are going to show up. And so, it's hard to, you can only limit it so much when you have that kind of opportunity. But we did take some steps to make sure to take care of people. And like I said, that was the last big event that we did for actually a number of years. The casting process really went virtual and we made some changes with the actual show itself. So the show moved filming from LA, where it's traditionally I've been filmed and where it's filmed again now, but it moved to Las Vegas, Nevada, to the Venetian Hotel. So entrepreneurs would have to fly into Las Vegas and quarantine for a period of time, depending on where they came from, often a week or so they had to quarantine, and then they could go out and do their filming for the show. And then because they went out, they would have to maybe quarantine on the back end. So some of the entrepreneurs were spending over a week, maybe even close to 2 weeks at the Venetian in Vegas, which is a pretty significant commitment. And there were some businesses that just weren't able to make that time commitment, which is completely understandable, and weren't able to participate. But filming for the show never shut down, thanks to the great work of the production team and everyone involved there.
Yeah, it was a real professional process. I mean, everybody handled everything so beautifully during COVID. I remember everything shifting over to Zoom. Mm-hmm. It was just a very unique time. And I remember this podcast with you has been a long time coming because we kept in touch via email and social media. And we've talked a couple of times about getting on, you know, to do a podcast and kind of recapping the COVID experience. But yeah, that was just so unique. And then I had a bunch of different things, you know, happening. Everyone's business experienced something during that time.
Yeah.
You know, and I was no exception to that. So I had just kind of tapped out to dial back into my business because with everything, with the way that COVID went, my business was essential. Mm-hmm. So I had to really, you know, be heavily involved in, you know, finding out the guidelines. And, you know, I'm involved in 24-hour care. Mm-hmm. That's one of my businesses. And, you know, front lines. So that was kind of, you know, it took precedence over my Shark Tank pitch. Yeah. But it was still just such a fun experience. And it was amazing meeting you. And I got to learn about your background. And you're the co-founder.
You know, the best part of being able to do casting is being able to meet people like you and build relationships with people over time, maintain those relationships. I really think that one of life's gifts is the opportunity to meet people and see them grow and see them change in different phases and spaces in life. And so great to reconnect with you here and love being able to maintain the connections with folks from Shark Tank. And it sounds like you've been able to do that as well with some of the local entrepreneurs in Detroit.
Yeah, it's been amazing. And like I said, you are definitely the right man for the job. You have a great way of bringing people together and such a great sense of community and connection at that event, you know, that I originally met you at. And, you know, you just have a way about you and staying in touch, too. It was just no lapse in time from a response from you. It's for me to reach out and message you and tell you about my podcast and other endeavors that I had going on. You remembered me fully. You know what I mean? We just went from there. It was just, it's great. I think you must meet so many people too. You know, there's so many interesting people that go to those events. Who are some of the others that stuck out to you during that Detroit casting call? There were so many good ones. There was some folks getting involved in cookies and ice cream. I remember that stuck out to me a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So I definitely remember them. I remember there were a couple of local fashion businesses that had some interesting fashion concepts. There was a guy that actually makes like signs locally. I forget what the name of the business was, but I actually used his business a number of times because at our casting events, I would have these kind of hard printed out logos of Shark Tank to use for branding or to allow people to use them for like taking photos and celebrating, hey, I'm here at the Shark Tank casting call. And so we actually have used that Detroit business for a number of years to print those out and met him right there at that casting call. And so I think it's great that the casting call is a connection not only to the opportunity to appear on Shark Tank and pitch to the sharks, but my hope is that everyone who attends one of the events leaves better than they came. Even if they don't end up making it to LA to pitch in front of the sharks, my hope is you leave with relationships, you leave better understanding how to pitch your business. And my hope is that, you know, maybe there's some kind of business opportunity or partnership that can come from it, whether it's with me and the show itself or with someone else that you've met at the event.
Yeah, and it's such a fantastic event, too. I have that did get me out of my comfort zone. So my mentor was spot on just to get me to do it in the first place. Yeah. But, you know, everything kind of just transpired the way that it did. And so I had to really shift my focus back to my primary business. But everything happened just as it should, really, because my the particular business I was pitching with involved an app. Mm-hmm. And I had developed an app and I worked with the team. Well, from that point to now, everything has shifted so much in that arena. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That I was able to really take a deep dive into reconstructing some things. Mm-hmm. So that worked out, you know, pretty well. And I did get that business up and going, and then kind of crafted the podcast during that time too, with everything happening, mm-hmm. you know, kind of the way it did, and getting out of my comfort zone to go and get up in front of those groups and pitch and work with enthusiastic people like Ken from, you know, the Shoe Doctor franchise.
And that's big things, because there are some people that have very mature businesses that have been in business for a long time, but if you're not actively raising, you know, equity investment or looking for venture capital investment or angel investors, you may not have ever gotten on a stage to pitch your business, even if your business is, you know, 5-10 years old, maybe even more than that. And so it's a really interesting, again, inflection point there, because for a lot of people, although they've seen the show and they understand the concept, maybe it's their first time actually pitching their business in front of a big audience, whether, again, that's a person that's early stage and just starting out, or a person that's more mature in the business and in an industry, but just hasn't had the need to pitch in that format.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to get out of your comfort zone. And it's a really great networking opportunity too, just to just be able to meet such amazing people that that they're inventors. You know what I mean? These are the true definition of entrepreneurs. I mean, it's such a mix and a melting pot of people. I love that. So, because that's kind of like what my business is. It's serves everybody, and that's, you know, there's a little bit of everybody at Shark Tank, at a Shark Tank casting call.
Literally a little bit of everybody. And something I really loved about that event in particular is the location of the event. I don't know if you remember, it was at a Boys and Girls Club.
Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah, and really interesting Boys and Girls Club concept, in that they opened it up as like a co-working space during the day, earlier in the day. So you would have local businesses, entrepreneurs using it as their office space. And then, of course, after school, it was used like a regular Boys and Girls Club would be. It's just an interesting way to use that space that maybe hopefully is being adopted in other places. I know Sean, who leads the Boys and Girls Club for that part of Michigan, came up with the concept, and hopefully it's been helpful. I also remember they have a music studio in there. Big Sean, the artist, sponsored, you know, creating a music studio, so the kids coming to the Boys and Girls Club can learn how to not only make the music, but produce it and edit it, and they actually, you know, come out with albums, etc. So a really interesting learning space, community space, that I found was really unique, and I know is having a positive impact in that local community, in addition to, of course, being a great place to host the casting event.
Yeah, absolutely. That I do remember that it being at that location. And now, who's responsible for seeking out the locations? Is that on your end?
Yeah. So, you know, we sit down every year and look at, okay, where are the entrepreneurship hotspots? You know, where are people starting businesses? Where's the rate of entrepreneurship growing? And then we take into another few factors. Where have we been, you know, lately, or where haven't we been? Where have we had entrepreneurs that we might want to connect with that have been on the show? And then put together a list of potential places and potential partners to work with, and then go through the process of developing those events and do the marketing, get the entrepreneurs in. Like I said, we do some an initial review for the events that I'll run, and then go from there with giving entrepreneurs an opportunity to pitch to the casting team for the opportunity to be on the next season of Shark Tank. And we're currently doing casting for season 17, if you can believe it, of Shark Tank.
Wow.
It's been a full season 16 is on the air now, but season 17 will be on the air this fall, and we're currently casting for it. And so, as always, looking to connect with entrepreneurs that have some traction and are ready to scale and have some passion in terms of what they're building.
Now, what is casting going to look like for that? Will it be via Zoom, or are you guys going to have people, you know, heading out to a location?
Yeah, so we don't do as many in-person events post-pandemic as we did previously, but we usually will do a East Coast, a West Coast, and then maybe something in between. We always do CES, the big consumer electronics show in Las Vegas. So we did that in January. We've done one East Coast, and then there's a West Coast one coming up around the LA area at the end of March. And so that'll be an opportunity for people to connect in person. But if folks are interested in the show and want to submit virtually, just visit sharkpitches.biz. It's a quick 5 to 7 minute form to fill out where we learn a little bit about you, a little bit about the business, and then we'll follow up with you from there and see if there's some potential for season 17.
So cool. That's amazing.
I can't say too much here, but the city of Detroit may have another opportunity to celebrate a local entrepreneur around the show as season 16 continues. So definitely stay on the lookout for that. There may be some local entrepreneurs to celebrate as part of the show.
Amazing. That would be amazing. I can't wait till I find out who it is. And you know what? I remember the gentleman that you mentioned that makes the signs, mm-hmm. because I remember the Shark Tank signs that you guys had there for people to take selfies yeah. with, take photos for their social media. And I didn't get one with mine. I had someone drive their truck through my house during the course of my pitch.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I was, I had some painters in my house and I had to move my clothes from room to room as they were painting throughout the house. And, I had just moved all my clothes down to where this drunk driver drove her truck through my house.
Wow.
So I had no clothes. And then we were going through the pandemic process. So things yeah. were getting weird. And so I was still driving down to the auditions and I didn't have I wasn't camera ready. You know what I mean?
Oh, so I didn't. Thank you so much for your commitment. That's incredible. I'm glad it was your clothes and not you or family members that were involved in the accident at all. But wow.
It was crazy because I had just gotten back from my audition the mm-hmm. day that the evening that it happened, because I was down in Detroit for a full day with you.
Yeah.
And I had also just gotten a Great Dane puppy at that time.
Oh.
So the puppy was at daycare, uh-huh. right? Because I was at the pitch all day.
Yeah.
And then I get back and pick up the pup from daycare.
Uh-huh.
I'm driving around the block
yeah.
and the painters were still at my house mm-hmm. and I didn't want to pull in because I had the puppy and they would be there for an extra hour if I brought the puppy in because
yeah.
they really loved my puppy. And so I drove around one more time. And during that time, they were like, all right, we just left. And I'm like, cool. So, you know, they left and I was going to go home and, mm-hmm. And no more than, you know, I get back, I stopped at the Walgreens down the street and made a phone call. I was sitting in my Jeep on my cell phone, drove back to the house and uh-huh. boom, there's a truck
wow.
in my house and all
there's
my clothes
were in my house.
Yes. And I'm by myself. So no one was in the home and the yeah. painters had just left
wow.
and right where she drove the truck through is where they were setting up to paint the next day. So
yeah.
they had started taping off and I was going to get my clothes out of there and, and then they were all out in the mud, in the yard.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was a nightmare. And then I couldn't get back into the house because
yeah.
they had to declare it a hazard or whatever.
Yeah.
And I had to go get a hotel. It was a fiasco. And so, yeah, but I was still trying to make it down. I was making it down for the pitch and I was limited on, I literally had what I had on.
Well, I'm so glad you're able to make it, Mike. It's incredible. Some of the stories that I've heard, entrepreneurs, you know, driving through the night to be able to make a casting call. In fact, there was a guy, we had a casting call in Kansas City, at this old historic theater called the Gym Theater. But he was in Chicago and he had driven through the night. He found out about it late and driven through the night to get there. And came on and pitched his business. I don't know how he coordinated it, but he had a Shark Tank logo like shaved into the back of his head.
So
of course we took photos with that, and he ended up making it on the show and ended up getting a deal. I think he got a deal with Mr. Wonderful and his business. He had a product that one of those products that allows your phone to both stand up but also like stick to a wall. Apparently his uncle was a rocket scientist for NASA, and so he had all these patents for space age materials, and one of the materials was the material that his product used to both be a kickstand and then also to stick to any kind of surface. And he did this great demo when he got on the show. He poured like spaghetti and all kinds of stuff all over the material, and he just wiped it off with some water, and it's still, you know, stuck to a range of surfaces. So really cool stuff. But yeah, people are committed to doing it, and I'm glad you're safe and okay, and assuming that, you know, your house was able to get repaired after the issue.
Oh my God, yeah, I appreciate you saying that. And my commitment was there, because once I commit to something, even though I was like really uncomfortable doing the thing because I was just nervous.
Nerves mean you care. That's not a bad thing. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I was just shy about getting up in front of a group of people like that. But then you get down there and you meet everybody like Ken and you, and everyone just makes you feel so good. And then like I was rooting for everybody. You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially Ken. Like I was like, oh my God, he's got to take this. And everyone was just so cool. And then the excitement and all the energy gets the best of you and everything else just falls away. I was like, I didn't care about any of my nerves anymore at that point. And so I was just happy to be there and getting to meet such cool people.
Yeah.
So that was just such a great experience. And the accident, you know, like that was, it was a whole fiasco. And then we had eventually, I think that happened like February 25th. I can't remember. And then the lockdown was like mid March.
Yeah.
And, like March 10th, March 12th, somewhere around that time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I couldn't, no one was coming to repair the house. You know what I mean? Because it was all, no one was working. It was lockdown.
So did you have to just stay in a hotel for a long time? Or did you do your own repairs? Or what happened?
All of that. So, yeah. So I had to find a hotel, but I had that Great Dane puppy. So, like, no local hotels would take me with the dog. And I don't have any family that lives here. So I was like, my folks live in Florida, and my brother was down there with them. So I finally found a hotel that was not local, though. I had to drive pretty far to stay at that hotel. I stayed there for as long as they kept me out of the house. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to get back into the house, but they just put a piece of like OSB board up on the house where she drove the truck through.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was pretty awkward. And so it was cold, and that's how I spent my winter, because no one was coming to repair it. And so I had to learn a lot of stuff on the fly, but I make good connections no matter where I go. And I'm a big fan of Costco. So I'm at Costco all the time, and I know everybody there, and you know, all those stores were open.
Yeah.
And so, and also like my business is essential. So I was always getting supplies and things for my employees and the folks that my organization supports. And, and I met, you know, great staff over there that were looking to take on part-time work, and they all had a trade. They all knew a trade. So everybody that I knew from over there, I had those guys, and then their brothers were coming over and helping me, cause I was in the middle of a remodel and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can only learn so much on your own. And if you only have two hands and you need a couple, an extra pair, you know what I mean? It's, it's nice to have some people that are willing to help, and those guys were. So always good to make connections no matter where you're at. And
definitely agree with that. Definitely.
Yeah. I was appreciative of the help I got. And I learned how to do a lot of things I never knew. Like I never had any interest in doing, like laying hardwood floor.
I was about to say, like making a fire to stay warm during the winter.
Yeah. In your house. Exactly. And luckily,
the construction stuff too.
Yeah, I don't mind it cold, so like I don't mind layering up. It's more like the heat, unless I'm intentionally
Oh, I
like
got
sitting
you.
in a sauna. You know what I
Yeah,
mean? Like
I
unless I'm
got you.
sitting in a sauna, I'm cool with keeping the heat down to like 65 anyway. But yeah, it was that was a particularly cold winter.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
then, you just
Well,
get
I'm
through
glad
it, but
you and the dog, I'm assuming, survived. You know, you mentioned a Great Dane. I'd love to get a like big dog one day. I travel too much now for it to happen, but a Great Dane or like a Irish Wolfhound or something like that, I'd love to do that one day. Would love to.
yes. Oh my God, you would love a Great Dane because they're the best dogs. And I had two. One just passed away, but these aren't my first Great Danes either. And they're just such a good time. And they're gentle giants. They are just the most gentle giants. And they can get up. And my boy Ziggy, he's like 6 feet tall. I'm
Oh,
6 feet tall, so he can put his paws on my shoulders and give me a kiss on the lips. It's amazing. Yeah, you'd love it. So I just actually adopted a dog from the magicmission.org. They rescue and foster and rehome dogs. And I just got a little guy named Burrito from the island of Utila in Honduras. Yeah, amazing. So
Cool.
yeah, that was awesome. And you've got a ton of initiatives that you're involved in too. So like while you network with a lot of entrepreneurs, you're an entrepreneur yourself and you're the co-founder of Gage. Yeah, you want to.
So we started Gage a number of years ago because two things. One, meeting so many entrepreneurs doing Shark Tank casting, etc. I saw a gap in entrepreneurs' understanding of their market. Who wants what you're building? Why do they want it? And then how do you prove that there's actual pent-up demand, that there's actual demand for what you're building? So many times at a Shark Tank casting call, entrepreneurs will come in and say, you know, I have this great product. I have this great service. We've had some initial traction, but I know if I just get this $50,000, if I just get this $100,000, I know that there's more customers out there. And it's like, okay, well, how do you know? And they say, well, I just know. And that's you need the market research to be able to understand who your customers are, how many are out there, so you can plan and project appropriately. And then on the inner side, on the enterprise level, we saw a need for innovation when it comes to how market research was traditionally done. Focus groups took forever to put together, super expensive, and at the end of the day, you often, as a client, would be getting a spreadsheet with a bunch of data points when what you really need is some actionable business intelligence. And so that's why we started Gage. We have apps on both app stores where consumers and experts can really share feedback with brands on everything from a new product or service to a review of a movie trailer to providing feedback on news and cultural moments. And we've been blessed enough to be able to work with a lot of brands, some enterprise companies like Nike and Procter and Gamble and Snapchat and Sephora, helping them on a
Huge.
range of pieces, but also work with some smaller companies and even some organizations to help them engage their target audiences. And so, yeah, having the experience of being an entrepreneur myself, I think has been very helpful in relating to other entrepreneurs going through the casting process for Shark Tank.
Yeah, you make a great mentor too. Do you get involved in mentoring folks? I guess you kind of are on a broad scale for a lot
Yeah.
of people.
You know, my capacity, I meet literally several thousand entrepreneurs every year doing the Shark Tank casting. So my capacity for it is limited, but I love connecting
Yeah.
with other entrepreneurs and sharing what I've learned, a lot of what not to do, because I've made mistakes, but also sharing some things to do to hopefully accelerate their progress. And I've been able to work with entrepreneurship programs here in the US, but also globally. So, for example, I work with a program called Unleash Plus. And so Unleash Plus helps to incubate ideas that are focused on supporting the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. And so we've done Unleash Plus events in Rwanda, in India, in a range of other places with entrepreneurs from all over the world interested in not only building successful businesses, but also driving positive impact that aligns with, again, those United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, reaching those goals by the goal period, which is 2030. And then here in the U.S., I've worked with brands like Target. I served on their Entrepreneurship Advisory Council for a number of years, helping them develop a new accelerator program called Forward Founders, which was a kind of pre-accelerator for entrepreneurs that are interested in retail. So Target had for a number of years a accelerator program called Takeoff, which is for entrepreneurs that are ready to get their product on shelf or ready to immediately do business with an enterprise customer. But so many businesses didn't reach or weren't ready for a Takeoff accelerator. They needed some pre-acceleration. They needed to kind of get the basics together. And so helping to put together Target Takeoff not only allows entrepreneurs to learn what they need and how they need to comport their business to be competitive with a big box retailer, but also provide some funding opportunities and learning opportunities that hopefully will be helpful for them even beyond any kind of retail connection that they want to make. And so I love connecting with entrepreneurs and sharing, again, a lot of what not to do because, you know, I've made mistakes, but hopefully sharing some things that can help to as they grow.
Yeah, I love that. There's no, you know, experience is the best teacher.
Yeah.
And now where would anybody be able to download the app?
Yeah, you can download Gage. Yeah, you can download Gage on both app stores. Just look up Gage Research. And if you're interested in sharing your feedback, sharing your expertise with brands, you download it, you fill out a quick sign up form. We give you a score. And once you get the opportunity to start sharing feedback, based on the quality and quantity of feedback that you're sharing, that score goes up and down because we want to maintain quality feedback on the platform. But anyone can download it and check it out, and certainly encourage people to do that. So you can, again, go to any app store, Gage Research, or visit gage.ai to check it out.
That is so cool. I'll definitely be downloading that at my Google Play Store. That's awesome. And also, too, you are the senior consultant at Values Partnerships.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been able to work with Values, which is a international social impact agency for a number of years. The work that we do at Values helps large organizations drive revenue, but also drive that positive impact. And so being able to work on campaigns or being able to work on products or being able to work on content that has meaning and value is part of the work that we do at Values Partnerships. And really thankful for connecting with my friend and business partner, Joshua Dubois, who he and his wife co-founded Values Partnerships a number of years ago, but love the work that we do there.
That's amazing. Brandon, I have to ask, what was it like coming up for you as a young person? What led you to do all these amazing things that you're involved in? You're involved in so many amazing initiatives, and you're just such a great human. And I'm so blessed to have met you, and I'm just dying to share with the audience a little bit about your early years.
Yeah. Well, I grew up primarily in a small town in South Alabama called Brewton, Alabama. My grandmother raised me, so very thankful for her influence in my life. Thankful for her example in my life as well. And as far as career was concerned, I know I do a lot of work in business now, but I didn't know what a business person was or how to become one. And I certainly hadn't wrapped my mind around being an entrepreneur, so owning my own business. If you had asked me when I was much younger, you know, what I wanted to be or what I wanted to do, I probably would have said, I want to have a positive impact. Maybe I want to work in business or government or whatever it might be, but I want to have a positive impact. And really, very few of the things that I've done professionally did I know existed back then. But I think it's really a testament to all of us being on a lifelong journey of learning. And if you're open to new experiences, to raising your hand and saying, yeah, I'll try that, or yeah, I'll help with that, adding value, when you take those opportunities will always lead to the next opportunity. And the relationships that you build and maintain, those relationships will carry you through. And so that's what I've learned in life. And I'm certainly have been in places and spaces that are very far away from Brewton, Alabama, not only geographically, but culturally in a number of other ways. And also just, you know, been in some places that I didn't know were on the map. Like I've spent a lot of time in Central Asia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, et cetera, working with entrepreneurs there with the U.S. Department of State. And so I think no matter where you come from and no matter what information you have access to as you're growing up, again, I think if you stay on that lifelong journey of learning and commit yourself to doing that, to building those relationships, and again, importantly, adding value in whatever space you're in, you can end up finding yourself in places that you never would have imagined. And that's certainly been the case for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I knew when I met you, because we got to know each other a little bit, and
yeah,
I knew that you were a well-traveled person, but you call Washington, D.C. home.
Yes, yes,
right now, yes.
Yes. Yeah. I love Washington, D.C. It's, you know, I know to some people, D.C. is the swamp and all of that. But for me, it's a vibrant community of people, and there are people here from every part of the country. There are people here from every part of the world. And the thing that people share, no matter where they might be on a political spectrum or no matter what issues they're advocating for, people come to D.C. to make a positive impact. People come to D.C. to push something positive forward. And so I appreciate that about D.C., which is different from a lot of other cities. There's, you know, smart people in a lot of cities. There are entrepreneurs in a lot of cities, but you don't always see the concentration of people that are mission driven in the way that you see in Washington, D.C. So I live in the D.C. area. We'll continue to live in the D.C. area. And but I love visiting Detroit. You know, that event wasn't my first time in Detroit. But I always have a good time when I'm there. And I know that Detroit just recently opened up. What's the name of the train station that opened up last year? I saw it all over the news. I saw Eminem and Diana Ross and others.
Yeah, shoot, it's escaping me right now.
But it was, you know, I just saw that and I was like, that's a signal that Detroit is back in a different way, because I know the city has been growing and going through changes in a positive way over the past few years.
Yeah, I like your positive outlook on things, too. Just you describing, you know, Washington, D.C. through your eyes, you know, I think a lot of people have that same perspective on Detroit, where some people might not share that vision, but like you're a person that looks for the good, you know, and what kind of value you can bring to the community and what kind of people you can get involved with that are bringing value, you know, in your area. And that's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just dawned on me, it's, you know, getting yourself in the right room and connecting with the right people and just bringing value reminded me that another event that I took myself to getting out of, it was like kind of coming out of COVID. You know, so jumping from Shark Tank going into COVID and then going through the process a few years, I ended up on a plane to the biohacking conference, Asprey's biohacking conference. And I was going to see a speaker. I really wanted to see a speaker by the name of Jim Quick. And there was just amazing speakers that were there. And I really needed it, having just been through the ringer with COVID in my business. And we had I had like $150,000 payroll error. My payroll company overpaid my employees by $150,000 and then turned around and sued me for it. All my employees quit. It was a whole fiasco. Like, this is after the car driving through my house thing. And so it was like stuff just stacked up, and I hadn't been anywhere in a while. I was so focused. I was on Entrepreneur Island, you know. You know what that is. And I was alone and I was isolated, and I needed to get on a plane, and I needed to get inspired, and I needed to get into a room full of other entrepreneurs and people that were going to lift me up. And that was the event that I went to, and I've gone consecutively. I'm going on 4 or 5 years now. And, you know, Damon John, he attends from Shark Tank. And so a friend of mine, Adam Gavin, Dr. Adam Gavin, he's a chiropractor in Australia. He's partnered, actually, I met him at the event a few years back, and he's partnered up with Dave Asprey. They have a device called the Wasabi. I don't know if this has made it onto your radar yet. It's a shockwave device, and Damon's bought one. So I know we were all at just the last conference. This year it's coming up, actually. I'm gearing up to get out there. In Austin. It's in Austin, Texas this year. I think it was in Austin last year too. But yeah, so another Shark Tank connection between you and I is Damon. So he was up
Damon
there.
Damon makes
stage.
His way around the world. As much as I travel, I feel like Damon travels twice as much. Now, he's traveling in a much nicer way than I travel, which probably makes it a lot easier for him. But I feel like out of the year, like, there are, you know, months and months that he's just on the road doing his thing.
Yeah, he is a traveling machine, and he's a good time too. He's great up on stage, has great presence, and he's so accessible, just like you, and great at building relationships, and just very genuine and authentic. I think it's great. And that's always been such a great experience. But yeah, he's been instrumental in getting involved with Dave and Adam with the Wasabi. I know he's a big fan of that. So another fun entrepreneurial endeavor.
And the upcoming event is going to be in Austin?
Yes, it's coming up. It's at the end of May. I think I want to say it's the 28th and the 29th of May in Austin, Texas. Yep, it's the annual. What is this one? Is it the 12th annual?
Okay. Yeah, the last time I actually did an event, like a panel with Damon, Damon decided to flip the script and be the moderator of the panel, host the panel instead of being a panelist like usual. But it was in Austin. It was right there in downtown Austin. So good memories.
Amazing.
There.
Yeah. The very first one I went to was in Beverly Hills, California. So that was fun because I just wanted to get out of town, and it was at the Beverly Hilton. So, and we did, like, I've just been a VIP, from year one on, and it's just always a great event, and you always just get to meet. I've had connections from year one on, just like meeting you through Shark Tank. It's like you just meet all the good people come together, and it's always an amazing event. You know, something else that I noticed, you got into fashion modeling too. You've done some modeling.
I have, back when I was young and beautiful. I'm an old man now, so I don't.
Yeah, right. But that's how I feel.
You know, it. So I moved to Washington, D.C. originally, like many people do, to work in government. So I worked on Capitol Hill. I was in the U.S. Senate for the better part of 5 years. And while I was there, this magazine, Politico, which covers, you know, political, public policy. It now does some broader coverage, but Politico used to do these lists of people on Capitol Hill. So they do like the best dressed or whatever on Capitol Hill every year. And it would be a mix of members of Congress as well as congressional staffers. And I ended up making it on that list one year, and that opportunity led to, you know, doing a couple of photo shoots with local designers and magazines in the DC area, and those led to other opportunities. And so after a couple of years, I had a pretty regular opportunity to work in the fashion industry, which I really enjoyed doing. People say entrepreneurship is tough, and people tell it like it is. It's even more so like that as a model, because, you know, you are literally a like walk-in mannequin.
Yes.
And if you don't look the part, they're going to say, hey, this part of your body doesn't work for this piece, or it doesn't work at all and you need to go home, or you need to go, you know, do some work or whatever it might be. And so I really enjoyed it, but also I understand that it can be tough, especially sometimes for women with some of the, you know, body and image concerns. But I love working in the space, and now I don't, you know, do shoots, etc., very much anymore, but I'm actually on the Fashion Commission in Washington, D.C. So it's the D.C. Commission on Fashion, Arts, and Events. We are appointed by the mayor of Washington, D.C. to oversee the fashion and beauty industry and to support it on behalf of the mayor. And I spend a lot of time, most of my time with the commission is working with creative entrepreneurs, fashion entrepreneurs, beauty entrepreneurs, people that are building businesses in the space. So lending my experience both as someone who's worked in the fashion space, but also as an entrepreneur to hopefully help them build their businesses. One interesting story of a beauty entrepreneur in D.C., her name is Rahama Wright, and she started a fair trade shea butter business several years ago, where during her time as a Peace Corps volunteer, she went to Ghana and learned about shea butter business and shea butter making. She learned that it's mostly women in Ghana that are make the shea butter, but those women were kind of cut out of the monetary gains. So they were getting paid pennies on the dollar, if that, for the work that they were doing, which was absolutely critical to the shea butter production. And so she was able to form these cooperatives with women where they get to share in the revenue that's being created. They get classes and learning that happens not just around the business, but even beyond that. And she was able to create this fair trade shea butter business called Shea Yaleen. One of the issues that she experienced as an entrepreneur was manufacturing. So as a beauty entrepreneur, and you know, the American dream is you start making something in your garage or in your kitchen, and eventually you grow and you have this national, international enterprise. Well, there's so many people that do start in their kitchen. They do start in their garage, but very soon, if they get some traction, their capacity in that kitchen or capacity in their garage outstrips, or the demand is outstripped by their capacity. And so they then go and look for a manufacturing partner. Is there a producer, a co-packer that can help me produce this product? But the minimum buys for those co-packers and for those larger manufacturers is often too big. So there's a gap between entrepreneurs that have this traction with some kind of beauty business and are ready to scale in some way, and the manufacturing facilities that are available, because they have minimums, because they have a business to run just like anybody else. It's understandable. And so Rahma actually went out to DC government, to Walmart, and to a number of others, and raised funding to build a small-scale manufacturing facility in Washington, D.C., for people running beauty businesses. And so her minimums are low enough that you as a small scale manufacturer can afford it, but they're also like high enough to make sure that these are people that, again, have some traction, show the potential to scale, and that can, you know, consistently support the business. And so that small scale manufacturing facility called the Yulene Beauty Makerspace is open now in Washington, D.C., and I think shows the city's commitment to the fashion and beauty business, but also shows how entrepreneurs can not only solve problems that directly impact their businesses, but can have a broader impact when it comes to the market, by identifying a gap, an issue, an area of friction that they experienced. And now she's built this manufacturing facility that has the potential to help thousands of other entrepreneurs who are maybe experiencing that issue.
That's an amazing story. I love that. Wow, what a trailblazer too.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And gosh, you do get to meet the coolest people. That's fascinating.
I really do. And it's been really cool to see her grow over time, because like I said, she started out as a Peace Corps volunteer. She then built a fair trade shea butter business, international business, and now she runs this manufacturing facility, putting together formulations and doing those things for other entrepreneurs. And so I don't think when she was a Peace Corps volunteer, she ever imagined owning a manufacturing facility, but here she is. And it's, again, amazing the places that life can take you if you remain open, are always learning, you know, building those relationships, and like I said, delivering value wherever you go.
She sounds like she should have a movie made about her. I can see it in my head. I can see the trailer playing. Yeah, I got to get her on my podcast.
Yeah, no, you should absolutely have her on. She's a great storyteller, and I'm not even doing full justice to everything that she'd be able to share, but it's really amazing. And again, like there are, when you talk about business, I often say to entrepreneurs, if you don't have an idea and you want to be on Shark Tank, or you don't have an idea and you want to start a business, because like for every one entrepreneur that I meet that has a business and wants to be on the show or wants funding or whatever it might be, I probably meet four or five aspiring entrepreneurs, people that want to do something, but they just don't have it yet. I say, okay, go through your week and write down all the problems you encounter. And then on Sunday, come up with a couple of solutions to each one of those problems. And there's probably going to be at least two or three things in that list of solutions you come up with that are going to be worth exploring building a business around. And those things are going to be things you're passionate about solving because of your proximity to the problem. And the fact that it's a problem that you experience on a regular basis, your proximity is going to give you an authentic origin story and also a unique perspective on the problem and the solution. And ultimately, the domain experience that you have with whatever space you might be operating in, that's only going to be additive as you continue to build. And so Rahma didn't have to ideate and go and find something different to start her next business venture. She just saw a point of friction and said, okay, I experienced this. Let me do the research. Okay, other people are experiencing this. Let's go build a solution. And that's what she did.
Amazing. That is so amazing. I do have to have her on the podcast. That's
absolutely
fantastic.
Man.
Yeah. And I love that. You know, I wasn't shocked to find out that you were, that you had done some modeling, because having met you in person, like, you're in amazing shape and you're very, you know, polished and put together. And, I wanted to get some of your, some of your wellness hacks. Like we talked a little bit off camera. Like, sure. I know you like to maintain, your fitness regime, much like I do, and you travel so much. Like, how do you keep it all together?
Yeah. Well, the first thing, it starts for me in the morning. I do push-ups, sit-ups, and some light stretches every morning. I'm drinking water, 24/7, especially when I'm at home, I'm doing that. So those are just basic things that I'm doing every day to make sure I'm maintaining and continuing to move. For me, because of my travel schedule, when I'm at home, I do not compromise when it comes to working out. So I have certain days of the week where I run to the gym and I get my workout in based on whatever muscle groups I'm targeting that day. And then sometimes, depending on how I'm feeling or the weather, I might run back or I might take a bike back or something like that to get back home. But I don't compromise on those things. And then when I am traveling, I have an app. We actually had a business on Shark Tank called Swerk It, and has a number of body weight workouts, etc. I know we were talking, and you go to a hotel, and it doesn't matter what quality the hotel is. Sometimes hotel gyms are just a treadmill and an exercise ball. So if you need something else to do, use an app like Swerk It. I mean, there's a number of others, Nike and Under Armour and all of them have apps that have workout solutions. But I think the biggest thing is just remaining committed and finding something that you can stay consistent with and remaining consistent over time. And that's how you're going to see the results that you really want to see. That, and then, use Rahama's shea butter on your skin to make sure that you're looking good. But
absolutely.
For me, the other piece I'll say on the wellness side, I, as an entrepreneur working in business, even during my time in government, I've always been in spaces where people might assume there's a lot of stress or there's a lot of pressure. And for me, I see pressure as a positive thing. I see deadlines as just structure that you can build your life around. And so for me, I don't have a lot of stress in my life. I don't have a lot of things that I would say worry me, etc. Of course, I'm concerned and care, but I think there's a difference between having concern from something, caring about something, being invested in what you're doing, being passionate in what you're doing, and allowing those things to fully take control. And so I think having the perspective of controlling what I can control, making sure that I'm showing up and doing my best with whatever, and then if a new requirement or a deadline comes, figuring out how I can operate in that space and deliver what I need to deliver in that time. That perspective has been helpful to me as someone that has operated in a number of spaces where quick turnaround and lots of uncertainty potentially when it comes to anything from getting legislation passed when I was working on Capitol Hill to, finding funding for a business as an entrepreneur, or even working with other entrepreneurs to help them as they grow their businesses. And so I think that mindset is important as we think about remaining healthy as well, because I think sometimes, when it comes to the physical body, people, they know they should work out or maybe want to work out, but sometimes the day-to-day just mental load, emotional load, weighs people down and keeps them from actually going out and doing the things that they'd want to do to remain healthy. And so I think it really starts with that perspective for me on the mental and emotional side, and then carries through with consistency on the physical side.
Absolutely. You're a shining example of discipline, that's for sure. And your commitment, that's amazing. And two key things for me, yes, water, hydration for sure. And definitely, you're a runner, I'm a walker. Yeah. But I definitely keep myself mobile. Those are two key.
And again, it's whatever your ability level or whatever you're interested in, just find it and be consistent. Like I'm a washed up has-been track athlete. So I run now to stay in shape, but don't ask me to triple jump was my event in college. Don't ask me to triple jump now, but
there's nothing washed up and has-been about about you, sir. Not at all. But I get it. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, Brandon, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join me in the studio today.
Amazing. Yeah, no, this was great, Mike. I love the conversation. Love being able to reconnect with you. And you've got some incredible stories yourself. So maybe you and Rahama can come together and put together a book of incredible stories, you know, go around the nation, go around the world, tell your stories, but also pull in some others. I think it could be some really interesting content, whether
yes.
that's for another podcast or for a TV show or for a book or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I think the three of us should have a podcast together. We should do an episode, but you'll definitely have to connect me with her. I love following you on social media, Brandon. You make such an amazing coach and a mentor just from people from afar, you know, for just sharing your insights on your platforms, and you're using your platforms for good. It's so great to see how you reach people and teach people. I think it's very inspiring, and I really appreciate you. And I was really happy to keep in touch with you throughout the Shark Tank experience because you've just got just a ton to offer the globe, you know, and I appreciate that.
Well, you too, Mike. I know people are benefiting from this content that you're creating, and I know people have benefited from you sharing your story, and even you getting up on stage for that first time to pitch your business at the casting call, people being able to see the transformation from you, you know, being in line to you getting up there and doing your thing. It's really great, Mike. So thanks so much for sharing your story, for the work that you're doing, for the businesses that you've built and are continuing to build, and for the value that you're adding for everyone that's in the audience.
Well, thank you, Brandon. Again, thank you so much for joining me in the studio. And where can people find you? Can you share your links?
Yeah. So I am Global Brandon on Instagram or YouTube if you want to see any of our content there. And then you can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Brandon Andrews, and go to brandonandrews.me is my website if you want to get into contact. So looking forward to hearing from folks. And I guess the last thing, if you are interested in casting for season 17 of Shark Tank, visit sharkpitches.biz and would love to see what you're working on.
Perfect. Thank you. I was going to hit that up. I was going to plug season 17. That's a beauty. All right, Brandon, thank you so much. Thanks again. All right, guys. Thanks, Brandon Andrews, sign up for season 17 of Shark Tank. That's a wrap.